Today is a beautiful day. In fact, it's a very beautiful day. The sun is shining outside. It's all nice and yellow in this Hollywood Bed studio. As you know, Hit the Target podcast is the home of champions, and today's show is dedicated to the champions. I'm obviously not alone in the champion celebration. I'm joined by Pro Pilania Sandawana through and through. And of course, if he's talking Sandawana, we have to mention the head coach, Rulani Mokoena. Coach, let's start by welcoming you. It's a pleasure to have you in Durban. Of course, you're here for pre-season preparations. How are you doing?
Very well, Jess. Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you guys in your nice nest, the Hollywood Bet nest. Yeah, that's a bit of a tongue twister. Hollywood.
Sounds like a good ride.
Hollywood. Yeah.
Bet's
nest.
Could be a new name for our podcast if we ever welcome to the Hollywood Bets Nest.
If you want to rebrand,
just give me the naming rights and the recognition. So no, then you can have it. Yeah, 100%.
Bro, how are you feeling on this beautiful sunny day?
Well, it feels good. You know, when you are sitting next to the championship winning coach, the best coach in the country at the moment. And you know that sometimes we have to control the excitement. You know how excited I am.
Yeah, no, same. Coach, we mentioned it off-air now that we had a conversation, I think, around the World Cup time, and it's just such an honor to meet you. And we've always wanted to, you know, organize the setup and to have you in studio with us, because we've seen how you talk about football. We've heard how you talk about football, but now to feel it in action, first-hand action, it's I think we both honor. I think I speak for Pro as well. But Coach, let's talk about the...
It's my honor, actually. I'm really privileged and excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
That means a lot to us, Coach. The Prince Mangosuthu Legacy Cup that takes place this Saturday at Ulundi Stadium. How's the preseason been like for you and the players?
Yeah, preseason has been very good. We are in week 3 now of our work. We've had 13 training sessions. We just concluded training session number 14 today, which was more of like a tactical regen session, because we had a match yesterday against Royal AM where we played 3 halves of 60 minutes, and we played 3 teams and they played 3 teams, and but so far so good. We've worked on a lot of very different things that we're trying to introduce for the new season. Some things we worked on last season and we thought were good ideas, and we could expand on them. And of course, then preseason gives you an opportunity to try to maximize on these ideas and try to get the best out of them.
Bro, I want to unpack your plan as well, but Coach, I just want to stay with you now for this question. It's an interesting question I saw on social media that, you know, a lot of, well, PSL fans are saying that so much happens behind closed doors in terms of preseason preparations, and you mentioned playing Royal AM yesterday. Why do you think that's so, and why do you think it doesn't get as much coverage as it should? Do you think it's a good way of hiding tactics? I mean, you mentioned a tactical session. What's the
I don't know. I think it's just a South African culture to be very secretive with regards to things that happen in football, particularly with tactics. But if you read and you listen and you try to get into the space of some of the best coaches in the world, they'll tell you that in football there's no secrets. The game has been there long enough for nothing to be new. I mean, no one reinvents the wheel. And anyway, with the advancement of society, it brings in greater influence of technology and science. It already means that from match day one, the footage is always available to the opposition. So, you try to move in a direction where even though people have access to your games and to your content, you are still, a few yards ahead of everybody else. That's what you try to do. I mean, just this morning, I was watching first Arsenal and then Bayern and Man City. And already those games are televised, and already those games are put for people to be able to see. And you can already get a huge insight. For an example, it looks like Nagelsmann is going for a 4-4-2 That has a 4-2-2-2, you know, which allows
them. And all this we know by preseason games.
So you already know that by preseason games, but how he adapts it and how he changes it and evolves the schemes as the season goes is stuff we may not be privy to, because there is also the work that happens behind the scenes. But I don't know. I think it's a South African culture. I think it is still, I mean, the other day, Mamelodi Sundowns started producing the behind the scenes of training footage and some of the sessions, and then some of the videos went viral, and spiraled out of a bit of control because the people are saying, yeah, but this is a little bit too much information for the opposition. Why do you? But these things are always up in on social media. The best clubs in the world put. I mean, you see Tottenham's training sessions. Conte's work in Thailand is up already.
Yeah.
You know, Pep's work already in America is up, you know. So maybe I'm a bit new school and I don't believe in hiding tactics and things, but I am in favor for allowing people to have a view and to see what happens behind closed doors. You know, it brings the supporters a little bit closer to you.
But coach, while you're still there, do you think that is about time now a club like Sundowns produces an all or nothing type of documentary like we see Arsenal is doing lately?
I don't want to speak ahead of turn, but I do know that there have been discussions like that at Sundowns with regards to setting up something like that. Of course, it doesn't help when you don't start it from the beginning, like from day one of the season up until the last day, and you see the build up and the work. So to hijack the season doesn't necessarily help you to set up something like that, because as it culminates with whatever happens at the end of the season, you are able to track the progress. And when we speak about trusting the process, I mean, things of that nature allow you to be able to get a little bit closer to that space, you know. So I think it's important, and I think eventually we will get there. We are always a little bit late with regards to moving into the space where everybody else is, but I think eventually we will get there, because there is a huge demand for that type of entertainment, particularly from a football sense, where the supporters want to know what happens behind the scenes in some of the big clubs, and that also allows you to make the supporters feel like they are part of the process and not only the end result. Because if you look at football as a supporter, and particularly in South African football, I my influence or my relations of being part of a football club comes only with my attendance to a match. And the attendance to a match is just the final part of the process. The process is Monday, what happens? Tuesday, what happens? Wednesday, what happens? Do you have the training sessions, the meetings with the players, the meetings with the agents, the meetings?
It's
not just the Saturday game. We as coaches take the Saturday game just as the overview of the work that was done in preparing for the match on the weekend.
And is that a decision that was made internally by Sundowns, or has that been asked by the PSL, that coverage behind the scenes? Is that
no, I don't know.
Just for Sundowns, or
no, I don't know. I'm speaking in a, and I stand to be corrected, because it's a space that I am not an expert in, and I'm not privy to as much information, but I do know the whispers that happen in the corridors.
Probably an expert at everything, coach.
Well, we try to.
You've already won a league.
No. We
coach is giving us a little bit.
Well, I think it's discussions that I've heard in the corridors, but it's good discussions, and it's good to hear and see that a club like Sundowns is open to discussing those type of ideas, you know, because the reality is that in football at the moment, the space is very closeted. You know, it's a very privatized space, and maybe that's why we do not have as much supporter interaction and involvement in our clubs, you know. So maybe one of the things to look at is, I mean, you watch Bayern versus Cologne. Was it Bayern versus Cologne? When you had the players with the first body cameras.
Yeah, it was Cologne.
In Cologne, and it's incredible. Mm-hmm. But I already you can see where that thing is going, because mm-hmm. metaverse and already in various other elements of society, mm-hmm. you see that you can actually attend a concert by being at home, and all you have is this infrared sort mm-hmm. of. Scientifically connected, and you can still feel the atmosphere. But
me personally, I'll be seasick. I just
no, it's crazy. It's and already when you think as a coach, because the reality is, I always say to people that as a coach, I have three things. I respect the game of the past. Mm. I study the game of the present, and I anticipate the game of the future. Mm. So if I'm sitting here and I'm saying, right now already you're seeing these vests that are put on the players, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? And you're saying, could you already be selling these virtual reality tickets for supporters?
Mm. Yeah.
So I have the privilege to log on to whatever computer system and technology, and I log on to a Rulani Mokoena vest. And I participate in watching the match through Rulani Mokoena's movements. Do you see what I mean?
Crazy, yeah,
it's crazy. But very soon you're going to get mm-hmm. to that level, you know, and where mm-hmm. you get not just the tickets, and maybe even in South African football, where it is not so big for supporters to go into stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clubs don't make a lot of money from gate takings in South Africa. Mm-hmm. A big portion of the business models of European clubs is from gate takings.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if you say to the South African public and try to get a step ahead, is to say maybe, these virtual reality tickets might be something to consider, where you can watch the game, but be in the comfort of your home, watch it on your phone, mm-hmm. but you get exclusive visual footage, maybe from one of the players' jersey cameras, mm-hmm. or from and maybe it's an experience that a lot of people should. It was just something that I thought about when I was watching it. Maybe it's a crazy idea, but it was something that came to me.
Maybe it's something on the pipeline. Who knows?
It's possible. There's people who have bigger brains and greater ideas and know how to use these things better than I would. I just like watching tactics and
coach,
doing those tactics.
But coach, on my end, I just want to get back to the football playing side.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, before you decide, okay, let's look at the preseason training for at the moment. You've got senior players and you've got younger players from the TDC team who are also part of the first team. Before you decide to loan out the player, what do you look for? How do you decide the team that you want to loan the player to? For example, you want to loan Ofense Mashiane, with all due respect. But what do you look at?
Yeah, it's very difficult in South Africa because and for many reasons, bro. And you're already looking at first is the financial aspects. Is the loan has lots of other technical detail that needs to be agreed, and sometimes some of the clubs are not prepared to take players on loan because the package is a bit beyond their reach. And so then options become limited, because it then goes into other spaces where you are saying, okay, if we are prepared to, as a club, to loan the player to you, and maybe we can come to some form of financial agreement to say maybe we pay 40% of the salary and you pay 60, or we pay 50 and you pay 50, or whatever it is, you pay the signing on fee and we pay this. So there's a lot of deliberations and discussions. Mm. So first, the affordability is number one consideration, because it could tick many other boxes. And then you find that the club is not able to carry the player's package, and then you back to square one.
Mm.
And then there's what we would say as interest. Is the club interested in is there a need for them to recruit or accommodate a left back, a right back, a center back, etc. And does that give us an opportunity to assist the player in developing? Because the one of the primary reason to send out a player on loan is you've got vested interest in the player. You do feel that there is some form of future integration and involvement for the player at the football club, but not now. So you still want the player to be able to develop his career, but it might not necessarily be with you. So it doesn't make sense to send one of your up-and-coming central midfielders to a club that already has 8 central midfielders.
Mm.
So you move away from the financial aspects, and then you move to the interest and the possibilities for further growth.
Mm.
So once then you start to consider that type of space, you then move into the technical aspects. You the profile of the coach, the profile of the playing style, is it a little bit close or far from where you are? Because it helps the player to develop in a playing style that is close to your playing style. Or maybe there are certain aspects of, for an example, I was very excited to see Sifiso last season playing at left wing for SuperSport, you know, and because as a left fullback for Mamelodi Sundowns, there's a huge demand for your offensive involvement in the game.
Mm.
So when he's played at left wing, you know that he's going to be involved in the parts of the field that are further up. And then that breeds a sense of familiarity. And then he's developing into a fullback. When he returns, the type of fullback that you'd want, like a Tapelo, a Mudao, a Mudiba, Laila K, who have a sense of familiarity with areas in and around the box.
Mm.
So you look at things like that, and those are things that you have to take into consideration. But it's not as simplified as it seems for everybody else, because everybody just sees, oh, Sundown sends a player on loan to SuperSport. Or,
yeah.
You know, do you know what I mean? Mm. There's a lot of considerations that have to take place.
I'm glad Pro actually brought up loans and transfers, because, Coach, this season, I think it's been, Pro, maybe you'll agree with me, that it's been so bizarre where we've seen 13, 14, 15 players signed by new clubs, minimum 7 for a new team. And it's quite crazy, because as a coach, how do you prepare for the upcoming seasons, knowing the Kaizer Chiefs or the Sekhukhune United, for example, that you played last season is not going to be the same this season?
Yeah, but your question is strange, because we have that at Hollywood Bets, and that involves also, from a financial sense, the involvement of football. And when you look at the climate of South African football in from a financial sense and the impact that COVID has had, you then have a better understanding of a couple of things. One, why the PSL took so long to open up stadiums. And a lot of people were saying, okay, guys, we need supporters in the stadiums, but not much has changed.
Yeah.
The stadiums are open, but there are still a couple of teams that play almost very close to empty stadiums, even though the stadiums are opened. And the adverse effects on football clubs is that it's actually a lot more costly to have stadiums open and have an empty, playing in an empty stadium, where you've now had to get your EMS services. You've got to hire security companies. You've got to prepare catering and many other logistics to be able to for the stadium to be given a green light to be able to host a football match. And then you're saying to yourself, okay, but what do you get in return? Because the stadium is still empty. Because from a financial perspective, there's not a lot that you are getting.
Mm-hmm.
That type of effect also affects the books and balancing of the books for the football clubs. And therefore, when you see 15, 16 players being released, and if you look very closely at a lot of those players, it's the high package players that were released from a lot of the clubs, where the clubs are now trying to manage the wage bills, because our game is in a very precarious sort of position, you know.
Mm.
So That is not only from a technical space where you speak about preparation and analysis, and because that you can, I mean, after a couple of games already, 4 or 5 games, you already see how Chiefs will be playing, how Pirates will be playing with the new coach, and how SuperSport will do with Kevin Hunt. Of course, that is part of the coach's jobs. You know, it's our jobs to make sure that we have the intel of the opposition and we are well aware of what is happening. And the other good part is that you don't expect a lot of surprises, because it looks like a lot of the players are players that are circulating between the clubs. So the 15 players that were released at Maritzburg, for an example, 4 or 5 of those will go to AmaZulu, another 2 will go to Golden Arrows. So you still have more or less the same type of players. And then, of course, not a lot changes from an individual profiling perspective, because if I have Colum Lambo at AmaZulu and now he's at TS Galaxy, it's the same Colum Lambo that you had at Pirates, it's the same Colum Lambo that you had at AmaZulu, it's the same Colum Lambo that you're going to have at TS Galaxy. Mm-hmm. How they incorporate them into their schemes and their way of working is up to what you expect from the coach and what you see, but the reality is I don't expect too much to change from a technical perspective, to be honest. Although it will be very interesting to see you know, especially the teams that have new coaches, Kevin at SuperSport, interesting to see Pirates as new coach with the back three, so it will be very interesting.
I suppose the hard job, Pro, is for other teams, the other 15 teams in the league. I'm not saying Coach Rulani has an easy job over here, but now it's for the other teams closing that gap. We've seen what Sundowns have done, I think. Today they've just unveiled or taken pictures of Ronwin Williams in his new jersey. I see, in fact, now on my laptop, it just shows it's come up. Ronwin's over the line, so...
And it's going to be interesting as well for Coach. Maybe Coach can give us his perspective on this one. You've got Kennedy Mwini, I think the most decorated goalkeeper in South Africa. CAF Champions League, AFCON, CAF Super Cup, multiple league titles. You've got Dennis Onyango, 2016 African Coach of the Year. Now you've got Bafana, number one goalkeeper in the team. Captain. And you still, Bafana, captain for that matter. And you still have Ariad Peterse, whom in my opinion was one of the best players at Sundowns last season with all the opportunities that he caught. I think he played brilliantly.
I agree with you.
100%. And now you've got the Bafana captain in the team. What does it mean to Coach Rulani now preparing a team that will play the MTN 8, that will play the DSCV Premiership, that will play the Nedbank Cup, that will play the CAF Champions League? What happens in Coach Rulani Mokwena's head when he's about to announce his first starting lineup?
Well, the good thing is that it's not only in my head. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 heads, particularly in that space with Wendell Robinson, and that also gives you 8 pairs of eyes. So the headache goes to all of us, and maybe that's why I don't have as many gray hairs as I should have by now, because we share this cake, you know, a lot. But all it means, I think, is just improved competition. And, you know, big clubs always have the responsibility of improving their squads. Mm. And when you hear within the transfer market that there is availability of a standout player, it is the responsibility of a big football club to pursue. And we are just grateful that Ronwin saw us as the better option. And
he's been very vocal about it.
And that humbles us. But at the same time, we also understand the market. The market is not very easy, Pro. The work that goes behind the scenes by people like Fleming and Yugesh and Stan to navigate and try to bring us the best players allows us to be very competitive in the market, but competitive in the right way, because we've also got a responsibility, one from a political sense, that we are not seen to be
weakening the...
Well, I don't want to go into that space. I want to, from a political sense, it's very sensitive, because what we are going through as a country economically is very, very difficult.
Mm.
So you don't want to be seen as people that are negligent and extremely careless with the economic resources that we are privileged to have.
Mm.
Because that then also sends the wrong message to a society that is struggling with the employment of its people and inflation and interest rates and an increased difficulty in terms of the standard of living, you know. So we have to show that we are also responsible people in the leadership positions that we've been given, and also understanding the effects that, I mean, can you imagine what it would look like if we spend ridiculous amounts of money on recruiting players instead of starting up functions that could assist you with employing five or six people and trying to put bread on the table.
I read somewhere that Sundown spent 51 million rand.
And a Chilean midfielder.
Signing a Chilean midfielder. 51 million rand. Coach.
So that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying we are not in that space where we are very reckless. It cannot be because economically the country itself, what I always say is football is only a microscopic reflection of society. Mm. You can't exclude football from society. I am a football coach. Okay, well, maybe for 24 hours, but I spend only a couple of hours at work with my Sundowns cap on. When I go home, I'm integrated into society.
Mm.
It becomes very difficult to leave my football persona and my activities of football when I leave the office, because I carry my work and I carry my responsibilities and my tasks well into the late hours and early hours of the morning. But the reality is, if you look at even our players, they are football players for the 2 hours, 90 minutes or whatever it is, and then they are integrated into society.
Mm.
So what does that say when you've got a player that costs you ridiculous amounts of money and he's integrated into a society where you've got almost 30%, 40% of its people unemployed.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. So you cannot move into that space recklessly. Mm-hmm. You've still got to show a sense of responsibility and a sense of awareness for where we are as a country. And it's very important that. But we also still have a responsibility to the same people within our societies, because Sundowns has a responsibility to influence the happiness index of our people.
Mm.
And football provides such a huge opportunity to make people happy in a very difficult time at the moment.
Mm.
And the best way to make people happy is by winning.
Mm.
And you can only win when you have the best players, because the game belongs to the players. It's not really about the coaches.
Coach, you keep on winning. Last season you won a treble. You've only lost four league games in two seasons. Why Sundown still does not fill stadiums, especially when they play home games?
It's a good question. It's a good question, but it's a question I think the club is on top of, and the marketing, the PR department of the club is still on top of.
Do you feel like as a coach you've played your part?
Well, we have to play our part, because our part is to make sure that, one, we play a game that reflects what and this is very important, because I'm going to try to be very quick with this answer, but the reality is it's a little bit more complex than that.
Mm-hmm.
History already suggests that Sundowns does not have the following that the Chiefs and Pirates has, and before you even start thinking about raising the ceiling or raising the floor in with regards to the supporters at the stadium, you've got to also accept the current status quo.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Because that then drives you to where your target market is.
Mm.
Because Sundowns then has to say, if we cannot try to recruit what is a space that traditionally is already occupied by maybe some of your other clubs that historically have very deeper establishments within its communities, you then have to look at this new generation of youngsters, of people who love the game, and then that's your target market. Mm-hmm. But then you have to have a clearer understanding of that target market. Mm-hmm. Take, for an example, Red Bull and its franchises. Mm-hmm. They are very clear that the all Red Bull teams must play fast, mm-hmm. aggressive, mm-hmm. and offensive
almost like
football.
The energy drink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the energy drink. Because it must appeal mm-hmm. to this current generation. Mm-hmm. This current generation is not a generation that is patient, mm. that says, oh, I'll wait. Mm. No. If football is not entertaining,
they want it now.
Now. Mm. The trophy must be delivered now. The good football, mm. fast food, the goal must come now.
There's no such thing as a 3-year, 4-year project.
No. There's no time for that. It's instant. That's why it's Instagram and social media has taken so many things because you load this thing and already retweets, likes, and endorphins and serotonin and all these good feel good sort of hormones are released. Mm-hmm. So this is a generation that lives on that lives on adrenaline, endorphins, serotonin, and that then also says what type of football are you playing? Is it a football that not only is appealing to the established Sundowns fans that see the club and say, where's my shoeshine and piano? Where's mm-hmm. where's my samba boys? Where's my Brazilians? Mm. But it's also a football that needs to be played that's appealing to the current target market, who are mm-hmm. the new breed of Sundown supporters that want to see a consistently winning team, a team that scores consistently goals and that plays a game that is appealing to modern day society. Mm-hmm. So that is a space that is a very critical space. It's a space that I'm not an expert in, but it's a space that I try to read up and with a little bit of my understanding, try to have a little bit of a finger on.
Okay, coach, with you trying to find that balance, trying to recruit the new generation of supporters and all those kind of things, you are also involved in a football club called Black Poison. Mm. We've watched Kasi games on TV.
We've seen the numbers there.
We've seen the numbers there. And we've seen the kind of entertainment people in Gauteng in particular are accustomed to. Then there's a football lover that is sitting in KZN or in Cape Town or in Eastern Cape. They watch the thing and they call it nonsense. They say, what in Gauteng you perceive as entertainment, in other provinces they see it as nonsense. The debate between professional football and Kasi football. What's your take?
No, there's space for it. There's space for it because the type of football you see in the township is the type of football that you saw in the mid 40s, 50s, in the 60s. I was privileged enough that I studied the history of football, and maybe because I was privileged to have access to probably one of the greatest football players that played during those times in the apartheid era in Braje. Mm. And one of the things that I spoke to him about and I asked him, I said, listen, why is this thing of standing on the ball, Ivala and Ishibobo, only synonymous with black people? Mm. And the answer was very simple. He said to me, football was the only escape of returning the ridicule that the white people gave us. Mm. And that if I could hit a vala on a white person and he ducks and dives and people laugh at me, that was the only space where I could do something that could ridicule a white man and not get arrested.
Mm. What I want. That's powerful.
No, and they used, black people used that as their way of leverage and their, now, so, of course, the game has become business orientated and all of that, but it's still an entertainment, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, Black Poison does not play the standing on the balls and that, but because I don't feel that unless it assists you in creating goals and you know, but we've still got a responsibility to provide entertaining football. And I do think if you look at spaces like, Brazil, for an example, the football that's played at amateur level, be it futsal or be it in the favelas where you play small-sided games or small games in the streets, that has a huge bearing on still the development. A lot of the players, the best players, Robinho, Ronaldinho, Neymar, all the best players in Brazilian football played amateur football, played in the favelas, and I think that space still has a huge, huge role to play in terms of recruiting and supplying players for professional football, I think.
Mm. Bro, we finally know why every Sundowns coach either has short hair or they're bald because there's so much happening there. It's the grey hairs, they're trying to hide
it's
it.
Very coach. Difficult.
We see right through you. But Coach Lerani Mokoena, thanks a lot for joining us in our Hit the Target studio. Of course, always a pleasure having you, Pro Plani, as well. The studio's very yellow today. Yeah, very, very.
That's why you're smiling today. you've been trying to join Sundowns, but I haven't given you the opportunity.
You know what? I had that God of Honor lined up for you, and you didn't attend it, so that's on you.
Nah, don't worry. We'll fix it next time.
Coach, thanks.
Thanks for having me, Jess. Pro, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Until next time. Cheers.
Thank you.